handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
To another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is August 3rd, 2020, 1:39 p.m. New York, New Jersey time. And I'm not excited to be here. It's an extra long lunch break because I just did a podcast with a comedian in London, England. So my voice is already a little more tired. And I said, why don't we just make this a power podcast lunch? 2 hours of podcasting. And then I'll go back to work because I don't want to lose that job because they pay me health insurance and checks always come at regular intervals. Unlike comedy, where sometimes you're getting paid tons of money by YouTube and Republican super PACs, and other times you're 10 years losing money. So it's a real topsy-turvy world, this comedy world. I'm sipping on some bone broth. Because who needs cookies when you have bone broth, which is basically tastes like soup without anything? It's like somebody left only the drippings of soup. You know, the stuff that falls out of your mouth when you're lifting the spoon up. That's what bone broth is. And it's supposed to be good for your gut health. And my dog absolutely loves to sniff it. She looks like a crackhead. And I'm just feeling that great wave of gut health coming over me. Who needs cookies? Who needs cake? Who needs French fries when you have bone broth and kale, walnuts? You know, just nature's goodness is what I'm consuming now in my quest to get fit. I'm not even trying to get fit anymore. I'm just trying not to die. Those are my health goals for 2021, not dying. I got a couple things to talk about today. It should be a pretty easy peasy episode. First off, I started watching the show Rami on Hulu, and I'm sorry if you're a fan of the show. Now, to prove myself, I watched 15 episodes. I watched season one, which I thought was inconsistent and had various plot points just sort of gaping. And then I said, you know what, though? Season one, it gets renewed. They got Mahershala Ali for season two, so they obviously got more of a budget, attracted more attention. So let's see. Sometimes people put out like a season one that's feeling things out and like they get their, you know, shows potential. And then the second season is like where the show really starts to flex its true might. Well, I made it 5 episodes into the second 10-episode season, so I've watched 75% of all available Rami episodes, and I gotta say, and I'm always nervous making points like these because they sound eerily like conservative bro talking points. So I say this from a place of love and inclusion and understanding and tolerance. When I saw Brokeback Mountain, let me put it this way. When I saw Brokeback Mountain, I thought it was a beautiful film. And one of the greatest calls I ever made was as soon as I left the theater, I said, that's winning best score at the Oscars. And it did. You rarely get somebody calling their shot on a best score Oscar win before the nominations are even out, but it got nominated and it won because it's a beautiful score. I don't know what the official title, I think, is like The Wings, but I just call it Sad Gay Cowboys. But people would say, you know, I had friends and other people say, well, come on, though. But if it was just about straight people and the plot was the same, it wouldn't have won all those awards. And I was like, well, I don't know. It still would have been starring two up-and-coming Hollywood stars directed by a respected elite director. And it would have just maybe been a little less media attention for just a cowboy romance film. And also the fact that they're gay and cowboys is part of the plot. You could say that about like an interracial romance movie. Sure, it takes place in the 50s when it was illegal in some states, but if they'd just been of the same race, wouldn't it have been the same? Wouldn't it have been more boring? It's like, yes, but context matters. So I defended Brokeback Mountain there as no, it's not just if it was someone else, it would be a boring movie that nobody talked about. I said, no, it's still a well-acted, interesting movie. And yes, the circumstances do matter. But with Rami, I'm going to make that argument. If this, I think this show is only getting acclaim because it is about a Muslim person, features like many Muslim characters and is centered around a Muslim faith journey. Now, I'm all for that. I will admit, being somebody who's a comedian and also somebody who's, goes to church and a person of faith, and who tries to, who grip battles with that and tries to live a decent life. There's elements of the show that resounded with me deeply and that I found interesting to see them portrayed. But I still think the show has multiple weak actors. Each season has these times where we get to the next episode and me and my girlfriend are like, wait, what happened to that? Or how'd they get together? Like, and I think that's flawed writing. But it gets nominations and stuff. And I think the same way that Girls got that kind of hipster, oh, it's about young girls in the city, women-driven stories, and it wasn't that great a show, I feel like this one resonates with me more, but I just don't think it's super well executed. So, yeah, I quit Rami. I gave it 15 episodes. I think that's fair. This is of course where I get tweets going, no dude, episode 9 of season 2, you gotta stick it out till then because that's when it gets good. And I go, why do I have to give a show 2 full seasons before it gets good? I give a show a season to figure its shit out, and if it shows potential, as I thought Rami showed, I wasn't happy with season 1, but there was enough potential that I thought maybe it gets better in season 2, but I'm interested enough, and I didn't feel like it did. So, don't give me any bullshit. I don't dig it, which is good because I just feel like there are, my queue amidst the 94 platforms I've subscribed to, it's always good when you can eliminate a show, especially when me and the Righteous Girlfriend are planning on doing a rewatch of The Sopranos. I haven't seen The Sopranos in, I don't think I've watched The Sopranos since it went off the air. So I feel like that's a good time to revisit a classic. Even though I remember not liking the later seasons, but I remember loving the first 3 seasons. But, I guess that. And I watched The Old Guard with Charlize Theron on Netflix. And, I don't know. It's my second disappointment. There's something about Netflix movies, like the Extraction with Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth, talented guy, A-list movie star. Charlize Theron, talented actress, A-list movie star. So they're attracting the top tier talent, but something about both those movies just felt very cheap and easy. And I get why they've been so watched. Everybody's like, I can't go to the movies, I might as well watch these movie stars murder a bunch of people. Bone broth break. But I ended the movie and I was like, in better hands, a better script, and with some better acting, this would have been. I mean, Charlize Theron's real good, but I don't know. I've been that's why I'm actually happy about HBO Max, because there's a lot of old movies that I haven't seen that I'm going to watch. And I kind of like that, because it's like, oh, this was when people had to make, you know, when movies couldn't just be dumped in a vast, infinite wasteland of content. So I don't know. There's so much goddamn stuff to stream. I'm going to try and watch Unorthodox on Netflix, which I hear is very good from various people. Just a lot of stuff. It's like, it's overwhelming. And then I watch some of it and it's, the content itself is underwhelming. So hopefully I discover something that I like soon, either a movie or a series. And there's plenty out there, but you know, you get disheartened when your time is limited. Unlike a lot of people, my time is very limited these days, folks. And so I want something. I haven't played a video game in 2020. It's disappointing. I have 8 games sitting in front of my TV that I would like to start playing. But you know, can't. Got to work these 2 jobs. I'm like the lightest skinned version of Haymon on In Living Color over here. So what else can I share with you guys? Well, I wrote down overworked. I am overworked right now, which is weird because it's not intensive labor, but it's just, there's no break. I'm doing a bunch of videos and getting paid very handsomely for it from some anti-Trump super PACs. It's all good. That's good money. It's not comedy club work, but it's using my skills and gaining exposure and being paid nicely. I am now on TikTok, which is just a bizarre fucking world. It's like Florida became an app. There's like a filter. Like, I'm like, does everybody on TikTok have humongous tits? Like, either they're BBWs or porn stars. And I think there's some of them have big breasts, but some of them are, I think there's a filter where you can make your tits look like porno. And I'm like, well, that's deceiving. And then you check, and every chick that has those, it's like 48,000 followers. I'm like, we are a scummy world. Like, you can look to see who I'm following on TikTok. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, with my righteous prick audience. Probably the reason why I'm not following any of these like big titty tramp stamp single moms in Florida is because, you know, as soon as my girlfriend looks, she'll be like, you're following 4 comedians and 838 single moms from Arizona and Florida. What are you doing on TikTok? I'm like, it's material. It's called research. You know, and then TikTok is so weird though. It's dudes sharing 60-second workout tips, you know, just like, you know, it's a big world. So obviously, but these guys are all like fitness model ripped. All these guys, like, you know, in a big world, it's there. But anybody who's got any chick that has huge tits, or any guy who has like a shaved torso of 6-pack abs apparently is on TikTok. I think when I was in my great fitness days of my 20s and I would say 30s, but it really stopped after 30. By 31, I had already, you know, I was already done for. But I don't think I would have been one of those guys. You know, I would have been maybe tank top, good arm action, but I would have been like, I'm not a model. I'm not getting on this app with no shirt on and showing people how to do lunges. Like, I give a fuck about their form. So it's big titted single moms. Let's be honest, slutty chicks and dudes. Lip syncing is the national currency on TikTok. You know, she who will not be named. Her fans would probably orgasm if they went on TikTok. They'd be overloaded by the genius content. And then occasionally there's people doing some good impressions, and then people doing incredible athletic feats, like people around the world just doing like dunks that are like, yeah, this 6-foot-1 guy, like, you know, flipped over a chair and dunked it. It's like, holy shit. And I'm like, and these guys are competing with lip syncers. That seems unfair. They seem to be doing much more impressive things. I saw one guy that just raised it to another, who did a deep fake, meaning, you know, used a deep fake thing to make The Rock's face look like his, and then lip synced The Rock. And I'm like, what the fuck was the point of that? Like, I've seen a guy do impressions of Arnold Schwarzenegger that are absolutely stellar. I know that's kind of a hacky impression, but the reason he definitely does it is because his is Trump level. Let's put it that way. What my Trump is, his Arnold is that level. He's really good. He's like some LA voice actor, I guess. But he deep fakes an Arnold face, but he's doing the voice. So that, you know, but then to see somebody deep fake the face and then lip sync, it's like, but what are you bringing to the table here? Nothing. Why not? Why don't you just post a video of The Rock? It's very weird what passes for content and talent, but literally doing a deep fake face swap with a lip sync, you are contributing nothing. It's very strange. But yeah, I joined it, and then a major influencer on TikTok, and I'm not shitting you, very weird, never heard of the guy, and then looked him up. Extensive IMDb credits, singer, a lot of, you know, we're talking 9 figures in total views across platforms. Wants to do a challenge with me as Trump. And with my 152 followers and his 9 million followers, I said, sounds like a fair deal to me. Because this could literally change my path on TikTok from an old dude who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing to, that guy does like the best. I'm going to do a duet with him. I'm going to lip sync his impression and use the big titty filter. You know, that's where I could be headed, folks. So, yeah, me on TikTok is probably replacing my DraftKings. For this is for people who are listening pre-pandemic. I had my Adam Sandler Uncut Gems. This is how I win. KG, JL needs to get back on DraftKings and start gambling. Come on, KG. But I had a segment because I was getting very into sports gambling, and then sports stopped, so my sports gambling career ended. Now I got a lot of money, and I could really fuck up my life now, huh? Like, I'd like to put 10 grand on the Jazz tonight to cover the spread. But I think TikTok updates will now replace, for the time being, my burgeoning gambling addiction. So that's your TikTok update for the week. But it is a strange and fascinating world of men without shirts, women without class, and people without talent, surrounded by people doing incredible athletic feats, the occasional good singer, and the occasional good comedian. It's a strange, but that's why TikTok, that's podcast title, so I don't forget. TikTok is Florida the app. TikTok is Florida the app. So that's that. And the worst thing is now what's happening, because I have such a robust following on Twitter, at least, people keep tagging me in shitty impersonators, and it's totally ruins the compliment. Like, people are like, your impression is amazing, but this guy's pretty close. And I'm like, this dude sucks. Like, I respect good impressions. Sometimes, here's how I know what a good impression is. When I see a good impression and I worry that that person's going to like out is going to crush my skills. Like Frank Caliendo, who's, you know, I don't mind saying this, I'm a much better stand-up than Frank Caliendo, because I remember watching his Comedy Central, but that's, his stand-up is a vehicle for his great impressions. So who's to even, who cares? I probably doesn't even care if he's a great stand-up, because people come to see his great impressions. He's really good. Like, but he's, you know, he's the Dana Carvey of his time, probably. You know, after Dana Carvey, it probably goes. So Frank Caliendo's great, and he's very strong on TikTok. And there's other people I've discovered. But it's when I see somebody who, like the guy Mike McRae in Texas, who does the great Mitt Romney, I actually got, like, jealous a little bit. Not in a fuck him kind of way, but in, like, damn. You know, that's like the way an athlete might be like, shit, he's good. Fuck, we got a game plan for him. This guy doing the Arnold does some other ones that are really good, but his Arnold is that top tier insane. This comedian who I don't know, but I know his name, Kyle Dunnigan, does impressions, but his Bill Maher is a fucking platinum level impression. So these are like, when I talk about, you know, my Trump is my platinum impression. I do other very good impressions, but I'm not stupid. I don't pretend like I do 80 amazing ones. I do a one game changer, and then I do, like, you know, 10 really good ones, and then I can, like, imitate a lot of people just the way maybe a friend who has some skills can do, but that's fine. But when people tag me, when they're like, your Trump is amazing, I go, I know. But then they followed up with, but have you seen this guy? And it's always somebody like whack. And there's this guy on TikTok, and oh God, I'm not going to name the person, but he did one of these like, if TikTok ends, thank you for building this community with me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. This is the problem with social media. This is why I like stand-up comics. Okay, folks? I don't like stand-up comics, but I also like stand-up comics. And it's because most stand-up comics have been in the trenches for long enough that they don't get pretentious. Like when a stand-up comic does prayer hands to thank somebody, I'm like, you're not a real comic. You're an actor who does comedy. And when I see these TikTokers who've never gone through, that's the problem. The internet's cut out the middleman in some ways, but it's cut out a formation process, a formative process that is not, I don't recommend it for anybody, but you know what? You're never going to catch me. Here's a promise to all my fans, to my community that I've fostered over these years. Like when they use words like that, it's like you should get punched in the face. But when you have gone through the shit I've gone through just to get to this weird place that I'm in now, if you ever see me do prayer hands unironically, like at an awards show, or to touch my chest when thanking somebody, like, thank you so much. No, man, then I'm done. I've gone pretentious if I'm doing shit like that. But when you see like a 20-year-old who's like, thank you for this community you've helped foster, follow me on Instagram, I thank you for all your contributions and your sharing and your, it's like, dude, you do impressions on fucking TikTok. You're not a spiritual leader, bro. And it's so fucking annoying. But this one person, he does these like, he does a filter that makes him look like a kid. So now people think there's some 7-year-old doing a Trump impression because people are fucking idiots. But on top of that, the guy's having fun. He's TikTok. Great, great. Don't tag me in people whose impressions are whack. It's just annoying because it makes your compliment feel like an utter piece of shit. Which is fine. I don't need your compliments. But it's like, if you're like, your impression is so great, but have you seen this guy? And I'm like, are you saying, like, multiple people are like, is this your voice? And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I have to, like, 20% of the people following me are fucking stupid. And now I have to do a 20% markdown from, I have 140,000 followers. I now, in my mind, have 100, do the math, I don't know. I now have 118,000 followers or 115,000 followers. I have to mark that. Because if you think that is me, then you don't understand what good impressions are. So I cannot take your compliment. Have you seen this guy? Yes, it's not a good impression. Why do you ask? I thought it was you. Well, by the JL bitterness comedy transitive property, that means you think I do a shitty impression. Good day, ma'am. Good day. Wow, that's a long title, but the JL Comedy Transitive Property is not a bad title either. Getting this bone broth, gut health. Okay, so we got bone broth, transitive property, bruh. Okay, so bad impressions of TikTok. TikTok's weird, but let's see. If this guy, his mom contacted me, which I thought was cute. She's his manager, or, you know, guy. And I joked with her. I said, well, there you go. You know, now at least he knows he can trust his manager. But, another thing. I just thought of a couple jokes I told. And we'll end with this. This will be a quick one. This is, you know, thank you for listening, and I'm trying to stay upbeat. One other thing, though, that I did see. Let's get to the one topic I'm not supposed to talk about, but, PR is king. Okay? I can talk to you guys about this. You're the community that I have fostered throughout the years, and we've shared so much, and I thank you, prayer hands. Thank you, hand to the chest, for all that you've done. Please follow me on Friendster. But I noticed Sarah Cooper was trending this weekend, because when Trump said he was going to ban TikTok, the earth, the world, or a very powerful publicist began the rumor mill that he was actually banning TikTok because of her impression, air quotes. It's lip sync. Go check out TikTok. You'll see a lot of geniuses on TikTok. And I thought to myself, I was like, and then I saw at least 5 reputable outlets pushing an article that all said the same thing. And I was like, oh, that's PR. And I'm sitting here going, this offends me so much as a comedian. Forget Trump impressions. I hate feeling like publicists can get. I recently hired a publicist. Okay, real talk. I recently hired a publicist because I thought I have to. It's to me, hiring a publicist is like having a super PAC. If I was running for office, I'm like, I don't want one, but they're legal and I'm falling behind. So therefore I have to even the score, whether I like it or not. Now I don't have, I'm guessing my publicist is not the fucking, the beast of the industry, but they've gotten me a couple nice things so far. And, I mean, I've employed them for what, 2 weeks, but, it's frustrating to see like a narrative in comedy. Cause I, as much as I know it's not true, I want comedy to be organic. And it's so the higher up I get, the more I see, the more I have to do, the more I see, oh my God, like I wasn't playing the game. Nobody was inviting me to play the game, but it feels like it didn't fucking matter. Now that I look in hindsight, how funny I was, how hard I was working. It's narratives and nobody pushes narratives harder than publicists. So when I see the, total, not to sound like Trump, a total fake news story that he's shutting down. There's security issues. They've been talking about security issues with TikTok for months, and that it's a Chinese-run app. The idea that publicists will actually get a narrative out there in legitimate news sources, and they will run it, and you've got to know that it's not actually true, but you know, then you're trending for a day on Twitter as like, is this the reason it was shut down? Oh my God, because there's a lot of geniuses out there who will run with anything. And it reminds me of when I saw the first few articles about her written. And now that I have a publicist, I see what goes on. And it's like the Wizard of Oz has been revealed in three different articles about her in major publications months back. The phrase, a version of the phrase, what she is doing is beyond mere mimicry, was in major New York Times, and maybe Hollywood Reporter and something else. And this is nothing against her. This is the game. The game is played this way. You know, this is a don't hate the player, hate the game. That's what I'm doing. I'm not hating the player. She's a player. I'm talking about the game of comedy and the bullshit. And when I saw that, and then I saw the behind the scenes of what, oh, we have to start a narrative. I realized, oh, I do the impression. I'm famous for the impression. You can't compete on that level. So what a powerful agency and their accompanying publicists do is they tarnish the very idea of impression so that they can reconstruct the narrative of what great comedy is. A great impression is no longer a great impression. It's some sort of liberal arts college definition of a meta narrative. And it becomes this highfalutin bullshit when what it is a cute lip sync, a funny lip sync. And when I saw that in multiple articles, I said, something stinks here. And then I saw it from the inside and I said, oh, it's about a narrative. It's about spreading your story. And it's like, and I had to be a victim of that. And I'm not saying this like, woe is me. I'm just like, these are the facts. You can't have me walking around on equal footing, showing off original content, original impression, honed material. You have to bury me. You have to make me irrelevant. And then you have a fresh canvas with which to paint a new definition of impression, which is the TikTok lip sync version, which is fucking insane. But that's what happened. And, you know, I thought it was funny. There was an article, the article in the LA Times last week that went up, which was a great article, featured both of us. Only one of us retweeted it, which I found interesting because she's retweeted a lot of content. And I think that plays into my idea of they don't ever want her to be linked to me. Why? She's the champ. She can play this defensive boxing game for the rest of her career. She got 2 million followers. I have 140,000. Leap years ahead of where I was, but in a different fucking universe from where she is. She's legitimately famous now. I'm like known in circles. But I do think it's funny. That's what this podcast has always been about, real comedians and real comedy. And the thing I cannot do is become a fucking actor. I don't mean not do acting. I mean I have to now actively fight becoming a brand. Even though I know there's going to be things put out that push a brand, I can never let branding come before comedy. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And I don't know what's going to happen with my career from this point on, but like seeing how dirty the game is and no, like, cause to me, God, stand-up comedy for all its flaws as an art, I still think of it as like, it's about being funny and letting that carry you. And it's not, and it's, there's much more of a game around it. And I fucking hate the game, but I don't know. I don't know, folks, but that's just, you know, this is our private session to gripe, but I hope you can tell I'm not like bummed. This is more fact-finding mission than woe is me. I'm bitter. I'm not bitter. I'm like, things are coming my way, but you know, I don't want my moment to be overshadowed, and it already has been, but I don't like that. I feel like I had to be collateral damage to redefine what impressions are for a more famous person. And you thinking I'm too smart and too well-read and too introspective for this to be a total bullshit theory. And I think you'd agree it makes sense. If you have somebody emerge who does a great impression and somebody emerge who does great lip syncing, if you have the ability to make lip syncing the defined art form, like that's what happened to me. People started accusing me of stealing because they thought I was lip syncing, because there was now this assumption that that's how people do impressions to the wider world and to the TikTok world. And that I don't like. And that's not an angle I would push, because I'm desperate for a comedy career, not for fame, not to be a brand. If those things have to happen along with a comedy career, that's great. But I won't conduct myself in a way that, requires false narratives. So that's my take. So we got through TikTok. Yeah, that's it. Oh yeah. And jokes. Couple jokes I was thinking of. I don't know why I was thinking about these jokes, but you start to just wonder, like, hey, are people going to come upon these jokes? And I remember I've seen how sensitive some people who follow me are to what are, I believe, regular stand-up jokes. I talked about a few last week, but two that I thought of with trans people that I've told. One was, I think I still have this tweet, I don't know. But I said, I might have deleted it a while back. I don't think I did, but I might have. I said, the actors on Pose need to transition into some acting classes. Now, some people might hear that and go, oh my God, that's so insensitive. I go, I know it's insensitive, but I'm not questioning their gender. I'm not questioning their gender assignment. I'm not challenging that their lives haven't been challenging. But I was just saying, I don't think the acting on the show is very good. Now, if we were to break that, like this is a good segment, I think. Now, if we break that joke down and take away the funny, the issue, one could argue, I'm trying to finish this bone broth. One issue someone could easily argue is, well, you know why maybe they're not as trained at acting, or they haven't, is because they haven't had the opportunities because of discrimination and the fact that cisgendered people get the roles that might go to them. And I go, yeah. Understood. Totally agree when not telling a joke. And that's the delicate thing that I feel like has come up. Like, I agree. Like, if I'm having a discussion on trans actors, I'm going to agree with you and say, yeah, no, it would be great if they would get more opportunities. But the joke is making fun. It's not punching down. Yes, there is a third degree connection that I am punching down. But I think when I watched, my girlfriend likes that show a lot. And when she watches it, I'll watch sometimes and I'll be like, yeah, they're not, like, there's a couple actors that I'm like, they're good. And then there's a couple actors that I go, that's not good. That's bad acting. Is this for real? So I thought, oh, that's funny, because now I'm making a play on words and saying, like, oh, there's your transition into some acting classes. And I'm thinking of that joke now and I go, yeah, that's a problematic joke. And I'm like, I feel like that's a problematic thought, but the joke isn't I don't feel like the joke is problematic. I feel like the joke is like decent joke. But yes, when stripped away from the context of I'm a comedian telling jokes, if I walked up to an actor on Pose and said, you know what you should be doing is transitioning some acting classes, you fucking hack. I feel like that's hateful and wrong. Context, I think, kind of matters. And then I have a joke from my, I guess this is really the only, I guess the only two trans jokes I've ever done, I think, on my album called Transroids on Israeli Tortoise. Another one that might be, and I realize that TikTok has this as a sound sample, but it only does like the first 30 seconds of the track, which is like the worst part of the track. But I say, oh, can we stop calling Caitlyn Jenner beautiful? Which by now is kind of hacky, but I at least did it early. Cause I've heard a lot of tough guy comics and a lot of, you know, say fucking ugly. And I was like, that wasn't really the point. That was just the setup for the joke. But I talked about a meme I had seen where it was during the bathroom debate, you know, in North Carolina, of like, you know, why can't they use the bathroom of their choice, of their assigned gender instead of their birth gender? And it was pictures of some trans male bodybuilders. And they were ripped, very muscular, like, you know, in my mind, looked almost steroided up. And I said on stage, I was like, and hey, the message there is good, but like, are we just going to ignore that these men are on steroids? Like, anybody else takes steroids, you make fun of them. If a baseball player is on steroids, they're not allowed to get into the Hall of Fame. But because this is a feel-good meme, we're just like, well, you know what? They used to be women, and now they're men, and this proves my point. So as strong as you are, like, I don't care how they got strong, it's empowering. And I'm like, everywhere else, though, we'd be like, this roided-up bodybuilder is a douche. But in this case, it's like you're a champion of rights. And then I take it that next step. I say, so is the only thing stopping Barry Bonds from getting in the Hall of Fame is that he has not yet had gender reassignment? I was more crude when I said it. I said, is Barry Bonds just have to cut his dick off and then he gets into the Hall of Fame? Now, I'm being crude. And I made that joke, I think, a little before Chappelle. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But no, my point was not to trivialize gender reassignment, but to say, and I've had a lot of jokes like that where I go, wait, so steroids are like, you're allowed to be a roided up bodybuilder if you're trans, but everyone else who does it is a douchebag. And I'm thinking of that track as well, and I go, I think that's a good track. That's like in line with my comedy. It's you know, it might offend you if you're not really listening to the context and you think it's just making fun of trans people, but it's not really. The joke is almost always on progressives who are bending over backwards to make heroes of anybody who has been underrepresented or mistreated. In real life, totally agree with it. But when it came to that meme, I thought to myself, I think that's funny. And I did it. And if it offends people, that's one of those ones. I'm like, how can I apologize for those jokes when the joke is not really the struggle. It's tangential. The joke, especially in the second one, is the people who post that meme like it's a victory. That's what I'm talking about. But anyway, the meme was basically, do you want these men in your women's bathroom? I thought it made the point very well. These people are clearly living as men, almost alpha, what we might stereotypically consider almost alpha men, very muscular, strong, confident looking men, but also undeniable they were on fucking a cocktail of steroids. And not for that, and that's my point, it's not hormonal to be like, this is helping my trinity. No, this was vanity steroids. This was like, I want to bench 405 and have striations in my shoulders. That's different. And I wonder if people would hear that joke and be like, he's attacking. I feel like people would reflexively go, he's attacking the trans community. I'm like, no, I'm attacking you. So I don't know. That's, since I can't perform comedy right now and post new clips and talk about crowds that like me and hate me, I don't know if I'll continue doing this, but I just felt like talking about a little bit of the joke process with you. And once again, you know, I don't know how I approach comedy. So, that's it, guys. Yeah, we kept it under an hour today, so that's good. Now I have to go back to work for another 5 hours and then do my Trump podcast tonight. So, while you're listening to this, if you're still listening, be sure to subscribe to my two YouTube channels, youtube.com/JLCAUVIN and youtube.com/TrumpTheInternet. Great content coming on both those channels. If you haven't bought any of my albums, goddammit, you better. At least my deal with my fans is always, I understand the way of the world, stream an album. But if you like that album, buy one. Maybe do an alternate. Like, okay, I bought one, I streamed one, I bought one. But it'd be nice to make some sales off my albums. And if you listen to this podcast, I expect you to be more of a committed, solid fan than some of my other content. Making podcasts great again. I don't think I probably have to remind you, but if you're not listening to that, it's become an official hit podcast. And we're doing a live show. If any of you live in New Jersey, trust me, I have been social quarantining like a madman, taking all precautions. Haven't left my neighborhood in 4 months. I've been very quarantined and safe. And I have at least one negative COVID test under my belt from last month. But I am doing my first live show. It's a live podcast at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey on August 31st. It's, I think, 7:30 p.m. It's on the website. But big show. First live show. First live show since I've gotten a little bit of fame, and it's in my new home state. And they're doing it. It's outdoor. You're only seated by party, you know, so it's like tables of two, four, or six. Outdoors, socially distant, mask wearing, the whole deal. And it's, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to do, even though it's not stand-up, it'll be fun to do a live show. So if you are in Jersey and you drive and feel safe enough, please check it out. I'll be there, and I've been very, very safe. I've already turned down one road gig for safety reasons. So hopefully you can make that. And is there anything else? No, I did all my plugs. Buy my albums, check out my other podcast, subscribe to my YouTubes, and that's it. So hopefully you enjoyed this one. If not, I apologize. So thank you for listening, and I will see you next Tuesday.